Okay. My friends on the board, please, let's come back to the session. And we are welcome back the members, the guests who have been patient enough with us to stick around. I really am grateful for your patience. Okay. I'm stalling until Craig gets here because I want him to report out on what was done at the executive session. And does anybody know where he disappeared to?
Probably went to the bathroom.
In that case, until he gets back, let's get ready for the treasurer's report.
We're one short of quorum right now.
Pardon me? We have a quorum until somebody questions it, I think.
Extras could be given anybody in the audience if they want.
I think,
pardon?
Oh. All right. We're in session, and Craig, would you report out what can be spoken out?
Sure. Okay, so the board passed one resolution in two parts. And the resolution, part one, is that the KPFA LSB shall write a letter to the Pacifica and its executive director to demand of Pacifica and its executive director that the interim general manager be empowered to resolve personnel issues and to bring closure to investigations of alleged violations of local station policies. And that was approved 10-2 with two abstentions. And part two is that is to request written guidelines for the general manager to deal with alleged violations of local station policies. That was approved 14-0 with one abstention.
Janet?
So as part of the reporting out, that would go in the minutes, I assume, and the roll call would also be part of that, I assume?
In the past, when we have... Pardon me?
The count will, but not the specifics.
The motion and the
When we communicated in the past with the board of motions during my tenure, the names of the people who voted as well as the count were given in the communication to Pacifica. Craig, you can answer with regard to how the minutes are formulated.
Well, actually, I think the practice with previous resolutions passed in executive session by roll call vote. What we've done is report the motion and the counts. I don't recall reporting the names.
I may have been thinking of open session. My apologies. Okay. Listen to Craig, not to me. And that would be the same thing in the minutes. Janet?
So I understand that has been done in the past, but I would like to know what, is there something in the Roberts Rules or whatever that state that maybe that shouldn't have been the case?
Give the mic to Brian. I think he's going to help me out of a hole again.
So Robert says you don't report anything from executive session until you vote as a body to release it. So you'd have to... Excuse me? Roberts doesn't say what to report. It says when you go into executive session, you only report out what you vote as a body should be reported out.
Thank you. And my statement was incorrect. All right. Anything further? We are now, excuse me for a moment, the treasurer's report, and let me turn the microphone over to Barbara.
Okay, I trust you've all gotten a copy of the corrected April statement. Now, a few people were not here at the meeting last time. I did pass out an April statement, but in fact it was one that had been produced at the last minute, finished at the last minute, brought in to the meeting by our business manager. That meeting went on for quite a long time. These two fellas need copies. Could just pass them down. Oh, and okay. And there were some errors found and a lot of emails that got generated about that. This has been corrected. There were Excel formula errors, and all the material, all the actuals that were in the statement were correct. There was not a problem with that. It was in the totals. There were some things that were missing. So this is a corrected statement. And I just want to draw your attention to Q. And if you're looking at, for instance, I just want to point out where we are in relationship to the budget that we are operating under for this fiscal year that we're in now. For instance, in listener support, the very first line 6, and look at, when I say Q, that's the difference, but let's look at O and P. So on the budget, we were budgeted to have raised $1,412,481 by now. We're pretty close. We've raised $1,407,671, which means we're $4,810 behind. But that was in April. You know, we did have a fund drive in May. And by the way, the reason there isn't a May statement yet and a June statement is because of all the chaos at the network level. The information that is missing from that our business manager would need to go ahead and make statements, and the extra work that has been required of our business office in the meantime. Our business office is doing a little better than some of them from the other stations as far as keeping up with our own business, our own paying our bills and making the records that we need. I just want to go ahead with this April statement, and then I should tell you one little thing about the May fund drive. You'll remember the last month, we passed out this statement. We didn't talk about it, but I did pass out some things that we did talk about, and one was a rundown from our data manager of how we did in the May fund drive. And we were talking about pointing out different points at which fulfillment rate was noticed. For instance, when you looked at the breakdown between all the income that came in by credit card as opposed to that which was pledged and would be paid when they received a bill, the credit card income had a much higher fulfillment rate. And that was because most of it comes immediately. Some things that come on credit card are over time payments. So they were not, that figure was not up to our famous standard of almost 89% fulfillment, but it moves up with time. And so I just wanted to report that as of yesterday, first of all, the conglomerate fulfillment in that report that I gave you last month was 67%. And that was just like less than a week, I believe, or a week after the May drive had ended. And at that point, our fulfillment was 67% of the monies that had been pledged for that May drive. As of this date, yesterday, it's gone from 67% to 71.4%. So through time, this increases as the payments come in for the fund drives. Now, I want to remind you that we have this neatly elaborate system in our data management that no matter when someone pays a pledge, they might pay it a year late. The data manager knows on at which fund drive the pledge was made, and the credit goes to that fund drive. So through time, all these fund drives' fulfillment rates change the way the income comes in. So without giving you a May statement, I will point out that the fulfillment rate for the money that was pledged in May went from 67% to 71.4. So we are putting money in the bank. Let's not worry about that. Let's go back to this statement here. So we're a little bit behind in the listener support as far as what was speculated in the budget. We are ahead of what is called corporate match by $644. And if you go through the list of the other classifications of income, other than the top two, the listener support, you'll see that some of them we've exceeded the budget and some of them we have not. For instance, car donations are beyond what was budgeted. And I remember people being very speculative about this car donation stuff. We can't believe the amount of money that we get from car donations. But there it is, and we've gotten more than we thought. So if you go down to line 25 and column Q, the whole, all of the varieties of income that we've received at this point, we have exceeded what was speculated in the budget by $12,274. The next section on this front page is a summary of the expenses. You know, the detail or what's on the pages in the back. But if you look at personnel costs, we are over by 30. Oh, is that a 6 or a 9? My eyes are not good. 39,000. And then we have spent less than speculated on board expenses by 10,000 something. We've sent less at this point, at the April statement, of administrative expenses by 120,000. Programming, we've spent less by 13,554. We've spent more on development by 39,320. Community events, now this is the one that's hard to pin down as far as, you know, we've already started getting income that is going to be associated with the December crafts fair because the artists who apply pay a fee to apply. And so that income starts coming in. It's really for a fair that's going to happen in the next fiscal year. So it isn't easy to neatly divide by fiscal year what happens. However, with the crafts fair, however, this represents when the money is banked in. And if you look at line 38 then, column O, the budget that we were operating under speculated that the operating expenses would be 1,073, whatever.
Eight.
Yeah. and now it is actually 1,688,000. So the expenses are a little under what we thought they were going to be. Now, we have to go ahead then and add in the information about the shared expenses that we need to pay out and capital items, which we have very few in this fiscal year. One other thing about the front page. Aside from the cells which had Excel formula problems, there was one other thing that our business manager had left out, and those are on lines 16 and 17, the CPB grant money, because it is being held for us until the audit is finished, our audit for 2012, which is quite overdue. And so there's this footnote in here at about line 27 where the business manager explains that she's put this in to make a more accurate picture. This is, of course, assuming that we're going to get this money. That's what we understand, that it has not been taken away from us yet, even though the audit is very due, it is very overdue. So now to page 2. You'll see, let's look at line 43. This is the total of the shared expenses that we need to pay to the network, to the national office. Let's see, what is this first line? Income loss before shared expenses. Okay. That's just the line from the page before. Okay. Now, we are just about on target for how much we would owe for shared expenses. We're about $812 under at April. And we have been subject to requests by the national office for money periodically when they are desperate for it, for meeting other expenses other than ours. And so we have paid since then. I don't have the list, but believe me, they are getting our shared services money. I'm glad to see that we're just about even and we're not way under or way over. Then we were predicted to have, if you look at line 45, a loss of $103,000. I'm sorry. Fatigue. And our loss has, at this point, only been just a little less than $40,000. So we have a positive figure in the difference, but we still have a loss at this point when you put the expenses and the add in the shared expenses that we need. And it's adjusted a little further when we add in this $9,000 for our telephone system that's still there. From there, the rest of the pages are the detail of the expenses that are summarized at the bottom of the front page. So I don't think we need to go over that. Anybody that wants to talk some more about it, our business officer has, our manager has stated she's open for anybody to make appointments, call, come and see her. And I want to go on now to the next heavy-duty subject that we are going to have to deal with, which is the budget for the next fiscal year. And I apologize, we have nothing to hand out today. We really tried like heck to have a budget ready to hand you as a first draft. But in fact, the work that we did, or Maria did, with other staff members. Richard has been in conference with her about things that he's observed in the station, and having his input about how certain things should be reflected in the budget for next year. She's gathered information from the people who have complicated meetings about how to set up the fund drives, how many days, what can be expected as far as how much money can be raised at each fund drive. She's gotten information from the chief engineer about facilities, things that are needed. So there's lots of information in this budget, but there's a lot of information missing from the things that we would ordinarily have from the national office, because they are so behind. And in any case, what we are planning at this point, and I have to say something about the schedule that is imposed on all of the stations by the National Finance Committee and the former chief financial officer had drawn up a time schedule for when budgets were due, when reviews of the budgets are due. And so the first budget deadline for a budget from our LSB, all LSBs, in other words, a budget that the LSB has had a chance to review and vote on, is July 31st. So the threat from the Finance Committee is that if you do not meet that deadline, the Finance Committee will take the budget away from you and do it themselves. And we went through this last year. I believe it happened the year before. And so I was really hoping that we could meet this first deadline, because they still have a lot of input, the Finance Committee, in the budget anyway. But I just felt as though we'd be on better footing if we have a budget that, in fact, we've reviewed and put in place. So last evening, Richard and Maria and I had been working on this for quite a few hours. And we decided that we'd like to offer three dates. I haven't set time. We should talk about time of day to give an opportunity for LSB members to come to the station and have a meeting, a workshop thing, where the budget as it is explained. And just write down these dates first. Next Thursday, the 18th. Next Monday, the Monday after that, the 22nd. And the Thursday after that, the 25th. And I would like to propose that we have our extra LSB meeting, which would be only for the budget. In other words, an hour, 2, maybe. But we would not deal with any other items, and we would not get a special meeting place for it. I'm hoping one of the first things I have to do is check if the performance studio is available, because I know we've had this kind of meeting in the performance studio before, and 25 people can fit in there, and I already know a couple of people who aren't going to be there. No one's coming from Oregon for this. But so that's the proposal that I have to bring you about the budget. I should tell you a couple of other little things, the routine stuff that's not about the budget. As of yesterday, we have $120,000 in the bank, and that is after the current payroll has been paid, the one due for the middle of the month. And we owe, there are $55,000 of bills just immediately ready to be paid. And one of those is a very large bill. It's about $33,000 for medical insurance. So it's not a lot of bills waiting to be paid, but one of them is a big, fat one. So let's go to some kind of discussion about this schedule for workshops and scheduling another LSB meeting.
And if there are questions to you, your report. Okay. Craig, Janet, Brian are the people I've seen so far. Sharon and Frank.
Thank you.
I'm going to learn by the end of the year.
Well, then you can continue as chair.
I'm sorry. It's non-spilled, thank God.
Yep, Barbara, thank you for the report, and I'm just wondering if you can explain the almost $121,000 we're under on administrative expenses, looking at the detail. I mean, that's a lot of money. And I'm sorry. Page one, and it's column Q, and it's line 33.
Okay, let's look.
And if you go to page three, same column Q, and it's line 92, which is professional and legal fees. It's almost $72,000 that we're under. And I'm just wondering if you can explain, or if you know, where that $120,000 came from.
Well, the line 92 on page 3, I believe that the budgeted figure there is because there is expected legal expenses that have not yet been paid. That's what the large fee, outstanding or unpaid thing is.
Expenses get booked on their bill, not when they're
paid. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, you know, Brian is a former treasurer and an eagle eye for this kind of stuff. Knows how to answer that question. So tell us what you just said.
Use
the mic, please.
It's just we use accrual accounting. So we book an expense when we get a bill, not when we cut a check. So it's not a question of whether we've paid something or not paid something. If they haven't accrued a legal expense here, it's because we haven't been billed for something they were expecting to be billed for.
Okay. So it is speculated that we owe it. We just haven't been given.
No, I mean, if it's not on here, and if these are accurate, we don't owe it. We've not been billed for it.
Well,
for something.
I
mean,
okay.
They might have just said, KPFA, you've been spending $100,000 a year in legal expenses, budget $100,000, mm-hmm. without expecting bills from a particular suit. I don't know. I wasn't around for your budget drafting process last year. But this doesn't indicate we owe any. This statement doesn't indicate we owe any.
No, I wasn't saying that either. I was just saying that it was budgeted as $72,000, and we have not spent at this point anyway $72,000. And also, there can be things we have not been billed for as far as insurance goes. This liability insurance for the whole organization, we owe some. Portion, and that is probably line 93. Yes, go another.
Let me ask for the board's help. The time schedule for this, by my configuration, is at 2:25. So just bear in mind on the clock. I have Craig, Janet, Brian, Sharam, and Frank. Did I miss anybody who wants to address Andrea? Anybody else? Okay. Craig?
No.
All right. The next person is Janet.
Okay, a number of things. So under personnel costs, 31, line 31, does that include the personnel costs for two paid GMs?
It includes whoever was on payroll in April.
Okay.
And I don't know when we started this madness. I forget.
Were you here in April?
No.
No.
Okay. And so this, the 7 month range is April is the end, and what's the beginning month?
For our fiscal year?
For the, the 7 month that's.
From October 1st is our fiscal year.
Through April, the end of April. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then about the CPB grant money. I don't know. I find it questionable that it was included, especially in the actual. But it's my understanding that there may be a reduced amount based on the audit.
Reduced amount based on the way we've reported premiums listener support and so on.
Right.
That has not shown up in this money yet. Will come in the next bunch we might get.
Okay. So then about these three budget sessions that you're going to hold. So you didn't mention anything about times.
I wanted you all to say something about that.
And we didn't yet talk about a date for a special LSB meeting
about
the budget.
Well, I proposed one.
What was that date?
The last Saturday of the month, the 27th.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm done.
Okay, and the next person is Brian.
I will move that the local station board hold a special meeting for budget review and approval Saturday, July 27th at 12 noon at a location to be determined by our officers.
Is there I hear a second. Is there any discussion? Brian, motivate.
I'll just say I don't think the performance studio is an appropriate space. This meeting has to be held in public. The building is self-locking on weekends, and that's not a space that can accommodate very many members of the public.
You're right. When we did that once before, I think it was an evening meeting. I remember us having a whole meeting there anyway.
Okay, we have a motion, and for people who want to speak to the motion, I see Janet and Andrea, did you have your hand on the motion? No. Anybody else on the motion? Okay, Janet, you have the floor.
Yeah, well, on the 27th, there is going to be a hopefully large demonstration at the Berkeley Post Office because they're trying to close that down. I don't know, but if it could be worked around that.
Okay, anybody else on the motion? Okay, we have a motion before. It was. The question to me was it seconded? And the answer it was. Would the secretary read the motion? Thank you.
The LSB hold a special meeting for budget review and approval Saturday, July 27th at 12 p.m. at a location to be determined by the LSB's officers.
I saw Andrea, and then I saw Sharam's hand. Andrea?
We definitely need a meeting. I'm concerned because even on a good day with lots of notice, our turnout is pretty small. I'm a little concerned that if we get to that meeting and don't have a quorum, then we can't really pass a budget. So it feels like it would be worthwhile. So I would offer an amendment, which would say that if we could put out a doodle and see, put out a couple of dates and go with whichever gets the most positive responses in the hopes that we have quorum, because it would be really horrible if everybody showed up on that day and we didn't have it.
Sharon, were you going to have something related to this? No. Okay. On focus, Brian, on Andrew's point.
Maybe we could ask our officers to send out an email to the whole board.
That's
saying the
exactly
plan.
That's exactly what I was going to do.
Let me finish. We'd like to do a meeting on the 27th. Tell us if you can't make it, and if it looks like quorum is an issue, then we can go back to the drawing boards on it. But at least we'll walk out of here with a plan A.
Have you got that, Craig?
Yeah.
My understanding of the motion is that we target 12 o'clock on the date, the 27th, and that as soon as possible, we get word out by email to the board and do a canvas of availability. Is that?
Ask them to respond.
And ask them to respond ASAP. Is that the essence of your suggestion, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's agreeable with the?
Absolutely.
Okay. With that understanding, and Andrea, does that meet your concern?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and now, Sharam, do you have something?
How long do we anticipate this meeting to be?
What is it expected, the length of the meeting, actually? Is it 4 hours, 5 hours? Or?
It's only a one-item agenda. So hopefully it could be
2 hours.
At 2 hours at the most. Less would be wonderful.
Andrew and Brian.
I definitely want to appreciate all the work that goes into the
budget.
Please
talk into the mic. I have trouble.
I definitely want to appreciate all the hard work that's gone into the budget, but I noticed that in my time of being on this board, I feel like we've often brought up the point that if we could identify some goals for the coming year, and to organize whatever funds, whatever discretionary funds we have towards that goal, it would be a lot like a planning process. For example, you know, I'm noticing that where it says and maybe I'm reading this wrong or I'm not clear, but on line 147 where it says development expenses, and there's nothing in that line, and I'm. That's the current. I guess I'm trying to figure out what our commitment, like what our overall development. I've been trying to track this down for a long time, but I'm trying to say I'd love to see what funds we're actually dedicating to development, when we're going to have a publicity campaign, what it's going to cost, or just be intentional. Because I also, I'm curious about the transmitter situation in Santa Cruz, and are we going to do some publicity campaigns around activating the Santa Cruz audience to know that they're getting good sound there, or just some projects that we could all communicate broadly throughout the KPFA community, including the outreach committee, including the, you know, making on-air programming about what it is our intention to do, and really focus the efforts of the station. But it seems like a budgeting process should reflect a plan that we're trying to execute. And that if Goldbusters knows what's going on, that's good, but it's not as good as if we all knew what was going on in an above board, widely communicated way. And so I'm noticing that we're in this rush now. And I guess I'm trying to figure out a way that in our next budgeting cycle, we're not in this. Like, we should have begun this process, it feels like, months ago. Even if the budget wasn't ready, our agenda should have reflected a planning process, a goal setting strategy.
I'd like to answer.
Yeah.
I totally agree. We should have been working earlier. But in fact, I think we can all recognize there's been more chaos than usual in our lives with KPFA this year. And
can you provide the feedback?
I don't know.
And maybe if I back off a little or something. The things that you're bringing up are the very things that need to be talked about in these workshops. Janet, I wasn't calling on you. I just meant, do you have to keep waving your hand when I'm trying to talk?
I got you, Janet.
The things that you're talking about are the kinds of things and have been discussed just yesterday evening. And I would like to ask if Richard has anything that he'd like to say about this based on the kind of communication the three of us were having last night, trying so hard to get a budget together.
I just have a point of order. Before we go down this road, can we sort out when we're meeting?
Yeah, there is a motion before the House.
That's right, I totally forgot, sorry.
Brian?
I'd
like to propose an amendment. I looked up the Berkeley Post Office demonstration. It starts at noon as well. I don't know what... Right. So I was thinking maybe if we started at our customary 11 o'clock, we could hopefully wrap up early enough for people to get to at least the last 10 hours of the post office rally. So I'd move to amend my motion to 11 a.m. start time.
That's a friendly amendment, yes.
Yeah. I understand there's no such thing as a friendly amendment, so the chair announces the way he heard the original motion. It was at 11 a.m. And please, folks, speak whether you're for or against the motion. Anybody, Janet, have we covered your concern? Anybody else who wants to speak for or against the motion? We are ready to vote. Please read it and be ready to, there's going to be a voice vote.
That the LSB hold a special meeting for budget review and approval Saturday, July 27th at 11 a.m. at a location to be determined by the LSB's officers.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? It is carried unanimously, and I thank the board and Janet. Yes. Yes, yes. Let me, have we finished with your?
No. We have to set times for the three workshop days. And I just want to hear what people think they could make a meeting. I would say it would be a couple of hours, maybe less.
And this is on the 18th, the 22nd, and the 25th, if I follow you.
Correct.
Yes. And you were about to learn the budget?
To learn about it and to have your opinions put in, yeah.
Janet and Brian, and that's all I see so far.
So my understanding is that we're not all expected to go to all three sessions.
No.
That whichever one we go to.
It depends on how much punishment
right.
You want.
So, right, as long as one of those days works for mm-hmm. us. That's one thing. The second thing is, so whatever document that you're going to present at the first one, is it going to be the same document at the
well,
all the other two? Or is,
this
or,
is going
or,
to be I'm emailed. Not,
wait. So
soon there will be an email sent out with the budget at that, what shape it's in
right.
then.
Okay, because last time for the first session there was one budget document and then the next session it was a different one. So I want to know.
There might be some amendments based on what.
Between the first session and the second session and the third session.
There could be. The business manager may get information that she's been missing from the national office.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may come in with a brilliant idea that would morph something we've got in there.
So each time, will you post the new budget
yes.
to the list, to
yes.
LSB? Thank you.
Brian.
I'm interested in attending the sessions. Thursday the 25th, there's a Pacifica National Board meeting that starts at 5:30 p.m. our time that I have to attend, and I assume Tracy, who also has to attend it, will also be interested in the budget. So My personal preference would be for an earlier start time that day, if that's possible. And if not, that's life.
So of the 3 days, that's the only one that is, or is that the best one for you?
Oh, no, I'll go to all three if I can. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that's the one I have a conflict with and that I know our other national board members have conflicts with mm-hmm. as well.
Okay.
If it's 5:30 or later that the mm-hmm. workshop goes.
Okay. Let me just ask in general, is there anybody who can come earlier than 5:30 and would be willing to do that?
I see several hands.
Uh-huh. Okay. And throw out some times. Tell me what, you know, how early? 3?
3:30.
3:30? I see nods on that. Does 3:30 mm-hmm. work for people? Say no if I can. Okay. 3:30.
So should we?
That's the 25th.
What about making the 25th, Thursday the 25th, a 3:30 meeting? And are there people who would like to come but can't come that early and would prefer to come to a 5:30 meeting?
I mean, we're not asking very many people.
No, but it's a sample.
Andrew, do you have an alternative suggestion that would help us?
I'm thinking of a doodle.
Okay, thank you.
I'm thinking of a doodle.
Well,
we're doing the best we can with what we've got.
All right, I'll make a motion.
Mr. Chair, I noticed that Jack is not here. We don't even at this point even have a quorum of our group. So again, to do all these time certain things, it feels a little bit. We also, by the way, on July 18th, there's a we lost a couple of folks, so we're not talking to a quorum, although we may.
A quorum is present.
People are hiding. All right. My point is that we're not dealing with you with a.
I understand your point.
I'll make a motion.
Please go
because
ahead.
We also have the problem on July 18th is the Pacifica
Development. Make your motion, please.
I'd like to make a motion that we identify times and try to that the time suggested here become provisional and that we actually do a doodle and that we survey to find out of these times that are proposed to find out who can make it. I'm not happy that this process is going down like this. July 18th is a Pacifica Development Committee meeting at 5:00. So that's not going to work for, I know, Joy, me, and whoever else is going to be on that call. There's a variety of folks. I feel like we should hear from folks. If this is a sincere effort to gain input, or if it's just sort of a perfunctory.
And the motion is?
That we do a doodle and survey the membership to find out, survey the board members to find out when they can, and that we make amendments if they cannot. I mean, we don't have to have a quorum, but I'm just saying that we need. If folks are out of town for a week, they're going to miss the whole thing.
Well, the one person you mentioned, Joy, is not going to be here. She's out of town until the 20th, so the 18th wouldn't bother her.
Well, I second the motion, and I wanted to add or maybe amend it. By adding a time that it would be that people would have to respond, like by Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, since the 18th is this coming Thursday. But I don't know whether Barbara would have to do it. Maybe Andrea would do the doodle. But anyway, that's.
For those of us who are not familiar with the doodle process, as I understand it, it's a computerized system. How would we do it? How would it work for us?
I can explain. It's very easy. One person creates the meeting. And you can put several different dates and times, and then can send that to the list, to the LSB list, and people then, with a link, and people then click on the link and they add their name and enter their information.
And if Janet, for example, if that's something you're familiar with, would you, and we pass this, would you be, would somebody be willing to undertake the putting it into effect?
No, you don't? All right, I'll do it.
Okay, if we pass it, then
well, the information will come from the treasurer and the budget, the business manager.
What information?
You will not put up the content.
No,
we'll give
just
you,
the dates. It's
we'll
only
give you
about
the content.
Dates. Right.
We'll give you the content.
And this is just for the getting of the preference of dates and times, if I understand
right,
correctly.
But,
as I understand, it's ultimately getting people to sign up for which dates they would come, one or more.
Brian?
No, Doodle's a system for picking dates and times.
For picking dates and times.
It shows what dates and times the maximum number of people can make.
Yeah, all right, okay.
And Janet, thank you for...
Well, but I would have to know what... I have these three dates that Barbara suggested. I'm assuming those are the only three dates, and so the what I would also need would be some times.
All right.
To include.
May I respond? This sounds to me like what we need to accomplish is can be done by email from the business manager and myself sending out the three dates that we've set up with the times and asking people to respond. It's not I know this. What
hold
you're
on a second.
What you're proposing is how to choose between these dates. That's not what we're offering. We're offering to do this three times, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure people all have an opportunity to come to at least one of them. So I think the doodle thing is not appropriate.
So that's an argument against Brian.
I also want to argue against. I mean, I think it's great that the treasurer and the business manager are holding workshops at all. This is not something other stations do, or at least didn't in the past when I was involved with the budgeting process. It's a good open process. In a perfect world, would we have an algorithm that picked the best date for everyone? Yeah, but it has to be coordinated with the business manager's schedule. Like, that has to take priority over any board member's schedule. It's, you're talking about picking multiple dates, not a single date that's the best compromise for everybody. And honestly, like, the process ends 2 weeks from now. Like, we got to walk out of here with some firm dates. Because if the rest of us don't have dates we can plan around, the longer it's up in the air, the harder it gets for us to calendar. So I just say, let's, like, set these. And if there's a compelling reason to add a fourth date, add a fourth date.
Seeing nobody wants to talk, Janet, you have a second go.
All right, thanks. Actually, what this doodle would be whatever dates and times Barbara and Maria would be available, and then it's just putting it out there to everyone, saying, you know, respond which one you would.
Does everyone understand the motion before us? Would you read it again, please, Craig?
So this is Andrea's motion that these dates, which are July 18th, July 22nd, July 25th, that these dates are provisional times, are provisional dates, and that we do a doodle to survey board members whether they can attend. Is that
yeah, or what times they can attend even on these dates.
Please.
Yeah.
Can you so you don't want to survey other dates.
Well, okay. We haven't picked times yet, so we're looking at dates, is my understanding. Except for the 25th, which was suggested at 3:30. So the motion, as I understand it, is that these are provisional dates, and I'll say and times, and that we do a doodle to survey board members whether they can attend on these dates and times. Is that?
Yeah, you can put a range of times in.
Okay, are we ready to vote?
No,
wait a minute, I understand, please. Barbara?
Second time.
I'm going by what Brian says, that this software, whatever you call it, is designed to pick one of three.
No, it's not.
No. You have to finish your remarks.
Brian, is that correct? It sounds to me as though we would be doing something with this software, try distort it into answering something that we want it to do.
I think there's probably a way to make it do what they want to do. I don't want to present myself as the doodle authority in the room. I just want to walk out of here with dates certain I can put in my calendar. That's my big concern.
Okay, look. I beg your pardon?
I'd like to help clarify.
Please give the mic to Andrew.
You guys asked the question, is it better for people to come in 3:30 or later or when? On a doodle like this, you could put July 18th. You could put 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, etc. And you can indicate each hour that you're available. So if we look it over and say, oh, most people, they put little check marks towards the later part of the night, that's probably a good time for us to have it. Or people put the checks around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just to show you, it's pretty standard. This is not like highly complex. It's just, but I don't want to debate about it. I'm done.
Thank you. I didn't see Sam Sarah's hand. Forgive me. Sam Sarah has a preference.
Oh, dear. I just wanted to speak to the simplicity of this process, and what I've seen it help in the past is that it just gives you a head count. So, and as you're going through your planning, people have indicated you set your parameters, and then people say where they can fit into your parameters that are already set by yourself and the other person. And so as you're looking at the spreadsheet and you're making a definite, okay, the meeting's going to be at this and this time, you're picking times that you know you're going to have quorum. You're picking time where people have indicated that they can and will attend.
Let me...
can I just...
Folks, I think...
Can I just clarify the technology?
Not at the moment, because I'm trying to speak. Before the group, essentially, is two approaches. One is through the doodle, and one is through email. And we can go on for a long time debating the details of this, or we can come to a decision and go on with our business. The chair feels that there has been a sufficient amount of discussion as to the mechanics of each approach. And unless, and I invite people to disagree, but it is either doodle or email. And I hope we're ready to make a decision and move on. Are we? I see your hand, Janet.
Just to clarify, doodles do not make decisions. So it's whoever
it
looks at.
Provides you information.
Right.
And make a decision.
So, I mean, maybe to just simplify it, to not use a doodle, that Barbara and Maria come up with two different times for each of those days, and then just put it out there. We will be available such and such, and then whoever responds to whatever, you can decide one of the times for each date. I don't know. That's another way to do it.
I'm going to take a straw vote. All those, I'm going to ask two things. Doodle or email? Just a straw vote so we can get a sense. All those who would prefer doing the doodle approach, please raise your hand. All those who would prefer doing the email approach, please raise your hand. All those who haven't made up their mind, it looks like 2-2, folks. Please.
Can I speak about this? You know, I know you guys are trying to help and bringing up this idea with the doodle. We did not have in mind of telling people, well, do you want to come at 3 or 4 or 5? We wanted to say, do you want to come Monday or Thursday or this Thursday? And we were going to set a time for each of those days based on a quick survey here about who could, you know, what's logical. And so now this business of the PNB meeting on Thursday, the 25th, had made me pin down, well, that's a day where we would have a 3:30 meeting. And I wanted to go ahead and say, for people who couldn't come on any day at 3:30, is 5 o'clock too early, or 5:30, or should it be 6? Just tell me what you think right now, right here. My inclination would be 5:30 on the other 2 days. But if there are 6 of you who say, I work, you know, and I can't get there until 6. I don't know. What does anybody have to say about that, other than that you don't like making the decision this way?
I'm asking a question that I'd like to hear somebody answer.
5:30. I hear 5:30. Anybody else? I see another 5:30. Anybody for whom 5:30 is in imposition? I see nobody. Does that give you sufficient information?
Yes.
All right, now, my friends, the motion before us.
Okay, so back to Andrea's motion, that these are provisional dates and times and that we do doodle to survey board members whether they can attend on these dates and times.
All those in favor of the motion, please signify by raising your hand. All those opposed. The motion fails. Andrew.
Could you describe a little bit more?
Could somebody give the microphone to Andrew, please?
Barbara, do you guys have any idea how long these sessions would take place and what would be accomplished? And what is your, I understand that you want to instruct people about how to read the budget, but can you tell me a little bit more about what your expectation is for how that time would be spent?
Well, Andrea, you've been in the budget workshops that we did before. It's just sitting around talking about whether you like this amount of money in that slot. I mean,
but I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, who's, if there's not, if it's not, yeah, I guess I'm
well, we're not,
what's meant to happen, I guess, is that there's going to be a proposal generated after July 25th that is going to get voted on July 27th, and that's going to reflect the priorities that are gleaned from those three workshops and synthesized by...
Well, it's not just from those three workshops. There's a lot of work that's been done already.
Right, but that's not getting to us, because we're having April figures here, and we're not seeing anything that's telling us...
And we're offering these three times so that you can learn about it. And
right, I'm just trying to get a sense of the process.
I think the answer, if I hear it so far, Andrea, is that the expectation is that that will be distilled and will be presented in the budget at the meeting on the last Saturday of the month. Brian.
Here's what my experience has been of budget workshops in the past. The more eyeballs on a given budget draft, the better. The majority of what we're trying to do is make sure every board member who's actually interested in the budget has space, not hampered by Robert's rules, to ask questions and get clarity and dig into the details of the numbers often that uncovers faulty assumptions or simple errors that make it a better budget in the process. The goal is to get as many of those questions, which are not political questions or questions of priorities, they're like mechanical questions with the budget, out of the way before it comes to a full unwieldy meeting of the 25-member local station board. I mean, we don't have to overthink it here. The budget that comes to the LSB is ultimately a proposal from management. Drafting the budget is management's responsibility. This is an input process where LSB members get to raise concerns and flag issues that might come up at a subsequent meeting. But if you have problems with the budget, like, you know, big picture problems with the budget, the forum to address those and put them to a vote is the full meeting on the 27th.
Andrea.
So when I'm asking what's going to happen at the budget workshop, I've seen it go a few different ways. I've seen some of them be more public and really inviting listeners to come in and to give their thoughts. I guess I am asking, is this an opportunity? I mean, if it's simply a matter of mechanics, then, you know, I think there's people, it should only, you know, people with accounting experience and folks who are number crunchers and so forth should be there. If it's a question of reflecting priorities, I guess I'm interested to hear that, because I would think that some priorities would be reflected. Like, again, I'm asking management or those who are working on the current draft of the budget, what priorities are being reflected, or what goals are being considered in the making of the budget. I'm asking, is that conversation part of what is meant to happen in those three workshops? Or is it simply a, hey, this number doesn't match up with that number kind of situation? I'm trying to be genuine, because I don't want to waste my time. I'm not a skilled budget reader, but I do have thoughts about priorities and directions that I think might benefit the station. I'm very eager, again, about development projects. But I don't want to waste your time or my time of being at the wrong meeting. And so if it's not really meant to reflect priorities, and if those are not going to be evidenced in the making of the budget, then I don't want to trouble the waters any further.
Mark.
Andrea, the point of these is to get the ammunition to figure out what policies need to be changed or developed. Those, in turn, are voted on the meeting on the 27th. If you want to be educated on what's going into the budget, why it's going into the budget, who made the suggestion, whatever, that's what these sessions are for. To make the complaint and say, this needs to be changed, we need to do something different, that's for the meeting on the 27th. So if you don't go to the sessions, then you've got nothing to say on the 27th because you don't know the background behind it.
All right, that's for the floor.
I'm totally sympathetic with the issue that Andrea raises. The budget is supposed to reflect deliberate consideration by the board as to our priorities and hopes for the coming year. And I know we've set aside a meeting on the 27th for that, but it seems like, I mean, that's one day and it's an hour or two, and it seems like ideally this is something we should have been talking about much earlier. So for instance, you know, Goal Busters has been talking about finding a way to generate enough income to sustain a part-time development director. And it seems like that's something that the board should be making a conscious decision about for the coming year. Or maybe we want to replace the phone system, or maybe we want to replace the computers there. I mean, you know, it's like a matter of priorities. And it does feel to me a little rushed. I mean, I wish we had been talking. I totally understand what Barbara was saying. It's been a crazy year, but it seems like it would be good for the board to set its priorities and wishes and druthers, or at least start talking about them a little earlier in the process. I'm not going to be able to make it to the 27th meeting, and in any case, it seems like what those priorities are a matter of a more extended discussion. But I totally understand what Andrea's getting at, and I think it's a valid point. I think we just go ahead with these meetings on these days and not, you know, let's just get that done. We'll have a special meeting. We'll get the budget underway. But sort of going ahead in the coming years. It'd be great to start this a little earlier.
Okay,